They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through those streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him. He's to blame." Upon his precious head they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the King." They struck him and they cursed him, and they mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died for you, and he died for me. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died for you, and he died for me.
Special occasions are often connected with food. You know, something like Thanksgiving, Christmas, anniversaries, birthdays, and other events. And I always enjoy the smell of good food being prepared. Whenever there is a special meal, we are in anticipation. We can't wait to be called, "Come to the table." And this morning, Jesus invites us, "Come to my table." There are several things that we bring to the table. Before we sit down to a meal, we need to have clean hands. You don't work in the garden or in the garage on your car or play as children do in the playground, and then as you called for the meal, you come and sit down and eat. You wash up. You clean your hands. And this is why the Bible tells us to examine ourselves, our lives, before receiving the communion. We may find something that needs to be addressed and cleaned up. As a mischievous child, I often got in trouble and, of course, received punishment. And there were times when I would be sitting in the corner for a long time, thinking over my behavior. And sometimes I was so stubborn that I would not admit my fault. Oh, I would not get to the point where I would feel sorry for what I've done. And by the time I would get ready to repent and confess my sins and ask for forgiveness, the food from the table was gone. And I would go to bed without supper, hungry. I've learned to repent quicker. Some people get so burdened by their sins that instead of asking forgiveness, they assume that they're not worthy of taking part in the communion. And they pass the tray without partaking, or they don't even come to the communion when they know that. But none of us is worthy. It is the grace of God that makes us eligible. And we need to remember that. When we come to Jesus with remorse and repentance, He extends His forgiveness to us, restoration, and His invitation to His table. We come to the table with good appetite. I remember some occasions when we were invited to someone's place for a banquet, a nice supper. But I wouldn't wait. I was so impatient, so I would just snack here and there some chips and junk food. And when we come to the supper, to the place, then I would regret it greatly. When I see this beautiful and tasty, nice food, and I'm already full with junk food. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. God offers us a substantial meal, His bread and wine, not to stuff ourselves, but to satisfy our spiritual hunger. When we snack on the junk food of sin, then we lose our appetite for the banquet that God prepared for us. David in Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Dr. Leroy Creasy of Cornell University has identified a chemical in Concord grapes that reduces the risk of the heart disease. And he reports in the Journal of Applied Cardiology that resveratrol, the chemical that is found in grape juice, can reduce the cholesterol and cleanse the heart of life-threatening impurities. The blood of Christ that the grape juice represents at the Lord's table cleanses our spiritual hearts of sin's deadly effects. While we are exposed to sin, we should resist the temptation of those things that have no lasting values and make sure that we have room for God's meal in our hearts. Jesus promises, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, Matthew 5:6. Unfortunately, many of us run our lives on empty, going from day to day, without much purpose or meaning, starving spiritually. Jesus fills our lives with a sense of significance and satisfaction. When dining, we also need time to enjoy the moment. I remember what Gary Strunk taught us downstairs at the health presentations, that when you eat, you need to take time to enjoy your meal. Don't rush. I heard that the fast food places like McDonald's or Burger King are called that way not because of the sandwiches, quick sandwiches that they make, but also there's something about their furniture. I wonder if you've ever been there, if you've noticed that. Their chairs are designed so that people would not feel comfortable and stay too long there. They eat, leave, and make room for other customers. But at the Lord's table, at the Lord's Supper, we come to appreciate the occasion, to enjoy the moment, to reflect on the cause, and to commemorate the person. Harmony at the meal, at the meal table, is very important. Sometimes, as an extended family, we get together for special occasions, and also all this, those are accompanied by food. And at the beginning, we always enjoy seeing each other. We have a very exciting moment seeing each other and talking about things. But then sometime through the meal, at the table, the conversation goes in a different direction and becomes controversial. And the enjoyment of the meal gets ruined. We start quarreling, start fighting about certain things. And unfortunately, what started as a joyful, friendly occasion ends as a bitter contention. And it takes a while for us to realize that we are family after all, and to be reconciled again. Conflicts, tensions, and disharmony can ruin a perfectly good meal. But we need to remember that what unites us is greater than what can divide us. Paul says in verse 17, "We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." No human issues should distract us from our communion with Christ. Our focus is our Lord and Savior and what He has done for us. We need to be grateful for this meal. I saw an apron in one of the gift catalogs that said, "Kiss the cook." And I had an idea, well, we should get one for each of our great cooks that we have downstairs, ladies that make all the potlucks and special events so successful. But I thought maybe it might be taking a different direction. But when we come to the Lord's table, we don't take it for granted. We eat with gratitude. I remember Zlata, our daughter, was invited to a festival in Colorado, Aspen, Colorado. And there were patrons of the orchestra, the sponsors, who decided to adopt one of the musicians from the orchestra. And they provided, because it was such an expensive area, provided the room in their home for musicians. And Zlata stayed with one family. And she was so excited one night, she called us and said, "These people took me out to a restaurant." And she said, "You wouldn't believe it. The bill was, just for three of us, over $200. Just for three of us." Remember, Zlata? And I thought, wow, that's a lot of money. That must be a lot of food. She said, "No, it was just, you know, an exquisite meal and not that much, but it was kind of expensive." While the bill, the amount of the bill kind of excited her. The more important thing was that she was so grateful that they've done this for her. You know, Israelites, and Paul mentions this here, complained about miraculous manna that God provided for them in wilderness. But we should not be with that kind of attitude. Sometimes we don't fully recognize the importance and true meaning of the communion. We certainly appreciate the deacons and deaconesses' effort to make preparation for this meal, for this communion. But the true cost and the value of this meal is in the sacrificial life of Jesus Christ. I asked Dr. Gary McLarty to share his experience as a teenager, the anticipation of the First Communion. Please.
I was actually a preteen. Is this on?
This should be on.
And bear with me, hear the whole story, because the first part of it's going to sound like filing under the category of, can you believe such a terrible thing happened to a little kid at church? So it's obviously not the point of sharing the story this morning. I grew up in a Seventh Adventist church, and as a child, we were faithful church attenders, and so I was always at every communion service. And growing up, I watched the adults participating in the communion service and listened every time to the exposition of what the service was about and the admonition not to participate unworthily and the things that went with communion. And so as I grew older, I developed both an appreciation for the significance of the service and a more and more intense longing to be able to participate in it, looking forward to the time when I could. So when finally at the age of 12, I was baptized, and the next communion was going to be my first chance to participate. So I was really, really looking forward to it. So it came Sabbath morning, and of course, as we're going to do in a few minutes here, we divided for foot washing. And in those days, we had nothing but men and women. So all the men went one place and all the women, including 12-year-old Gary with most of the adult men. Well, my father wasn't there that day. And this is the part you're going to say, oh, poor Gary, but don't worry about that. So my father wasn't there that day. And being my first communion and the intense feeling that I was experiencing, I was too timid and too shy to ask any of the men to participate with me. And none of them asked me. And so I stood back in the back of the room and watched everything. And finally it was over and we had to go back downstairs. I was devastated, and I was crying. I was just crying, and because it was my first communion, I didn't get to participate in the foot washing, and then I was afraid, should I participate in the emblems, because I haven't participated in the preparation, and, you know, I tell you all this not because I want you to feel sorry for me. I got over it, and the next communion went great, and I've enjoyed communion ever since, but there are two things I want us to learn from that this morning. Number one is I hope that all of us will go back and renew our understanding of the importance of what we're doing this morning. And that each of us would be reduced to tears this morning if we thought we weren't going to be able to participate. Do we really have that longing and that intense desire and the understanding, the significance of what we're doing this morning? Jesus said that if you don't eat my flesh and you don't drink my blood, you're going to die in your sins. But if you do, you will be raised in the resurrection, and you will have life eternal. So that's what we're talking about this morning. We're participating in symbolic form in the body and the blood of Jesus, which is our salvation. And the second thing, I want each of us to be realizing the spiritual stirrings that could be happening in our very youngest among us, our children. They don't have to be 20 years old. They don't have to even be 12 years old for the Spirit to be moving in their hearts. And I hope that each of us, whether they're our own children or our own grandchildren, most of you are probably in my condition. I don't have any children or grandchildren in this church, but I have spiritual children and grandchildren, and that we will look for those spiritual stirrings and encourage them and help them to act on those stirrings and to do everything we can to strengthen them and encourage them so that they will know Jesus as their Savior.
Thank you.
I went around the Sabbath school classes this morning and I asked them a question, what they think about communion, what they know about the communion. And frankly, I was a little bit disappointed that they didn't know as much as I expected. So parents, you have a work to do. But there were a few that pleased me with the answers. And here are some of their responses. Communion is a part of God and God's life. It reminds me of Jesus and that he died for us. It makes me happy to remember. It is the closest we can get to Jesus. It reminds us about Jesus sharing his meal with his disciples. It's about humility or serving one another. Sometimes children may understand communion even better than adults. I wonder how many of us adults really understand the meaning of the communion. There is a big difference between being childish and childlike. And with their childlike faith, they approach communion with a sense of wonder and awe, as we heard the testimony here. And while we should be sensitive to young people's challenges and encourage them in their experiences, we can also learn from their childlike faith. We also come to God's table with loyalty. I wonder how many of you remember the movie Miracle on the 34th Street. It's only in that movie that Macy's can send their customers to their competitors' stores. But in real life, if you own a diner, you don't send your customers elsewhere to eat. And certainly you yourself would not have lunch across the street at a different restaurant. You tell everybody this is the best food and the best place to eat. Some people even lost their jobs because they worked for one company and used the products of the other. Paul warns us, those who try to eat at the devil's table yet also come to God's. Verse 22, are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Our God will not be replaced with substitutes. He deserves our undivided loyalty. Corinthians were tempted to relapse to their idolatrous practices of their former lives. And we might be tempted, we might not be tempted today by idol worship, but anything or trusting in anything than what God provides can be spiritual idolatry. He is our highest priority. Eating at the Lord's table means bonding with Christ and identifying with his suffering and death. Communion indicates our total commitment and undivided loyalty to him. Every time we observe the Lord's Supper, we have an opportunity to recommit ourselves to him and renew our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So before we come to the Lord's table, let us prepare our hearts for the meal that he provides for us. In the ordinance of humility, we have this opportunity to make things right